It is not hunger, there is just an empty spot in the heart, a gentle deconstruction of emotional eating. The late night kitchen impulse. At one Friday morning at 1 a.m., Shenzhen product manager Zhou Yu, 29, woke from exhausting overtime. She had eaten a full dinner, yet inexplicably walked to the kitchen, opened the fridge, and finished half a box of tiramisu bite by bite. She said, "I was not hungry, but my mouth would not stop, and after eating I felt even more empty." This late-night eating impulse is not unfamiliar to many city dwellers. Emotional eating means using food to soothe, comfort, or avoid an emotion, rather than responding to the body's energy need. Its biggest difference from physical hunger is that the motive comes from the heart, not the stomach. Studies show that under stress, about 40-60% of adults show a clear shift in eating behavior. Across multiple reviews of stress and eating behavior, some eat less, some eat much more, and the latter are often labeled greedy or weak in self-control. Zhou Yu smiled wryly. "Colleagues say I have strong willpower, but I binge on sweets whenever there is a project review. Actually, it is not about willpower, it is the brain finding me a cheap and fast comfort." The first step to understanding emotional eating is to take food out of the right or wrong frame. It is neither a reward nor a sin, but a very sloppily written emotional letter. Emotional hunger versus physical hunger, two sets of signals. Physical hunger is usually gradual and comes from the stomach, a bit empty, a bit panicky, willing to eat anything. It can be satisfied by any food, and you naturally stop after eating. Emotional hunger is often sudden and specific. You just want that one salty or sweet bite, nothing else. It comes fast and leaves fast, and after eating there is often guilt rather than satisfaction. A handy way to tell is to ask yourself, if only an apple were available, would I still want to eat? If the answer is no, it is mostly emotion driving, because the body would not be so picky as to want only tiramisu and not an apple. Physical hunger slowly intensifies over time and feels bad if you miss a meal. Emotional hunger has nothing to do with the last meal and is often ignited in an instant by a sentence, an email, or a memory. Separating these two sets of signals is the starting point to reduce emotional eating. You do not need to quit anything immediately. You only need to first see clearly whether it is the stomach or the heart driving you now. Myths and truth: it is not weak willpower. Myth 1: emotional eating is poor self-control. The truth is, physiologically it stems from fluctuations of the stress hormone cortisol. Under high pressure, cortisol rises and pushes cravings for high-sugar, high-fat food. This is the body's ancient survival program, not a personality flaw. Myth 2: resisting food is victory. The truth is, forced suppression often brings rebound. The repressed emotion returns at night as even stronger eating, forming a cycle of the more you resist, the more you want. Myth 3: as long as you eat healthy food, nothing is wrong. The truth is, the problem is not the food type but the motive of eating. Using salad to soothe anxiety is still emotional eating in essence, just in a more decent outfit. So stop scolding yourself for craving. Zhou Yu later learned to say, "I am not hungry now, I am just tired." Naming the emotion in one sentence loosens the impulse a little. The real turning point is to stop the moral judgment and turn to observation and substitution. Changing why I eat into how can I take care of myself opens the path. Professional analysis, stress data on emotional eating and the three-layer trigger model. Let us speak with data. Under chronic stress, persistently high cortisol tends to increase abdominal fat storage. A synthesis across multiple studies noted that people under sustained high pressure had snack intake frequency about 30% higher than the low stress control group. Order of magnitude reference, not an individual conclusion. At the brain level, high sugar, high fat food briefly activates the reward circuit, making dopamine rise fast then fall, forming an eat feel good empty eat again loop. This explains why emotional eating is harder and harder to stop. We introduce a practical analytical framework, the three-layer trigger model. Layer 1 is external triggers, deadline, argument, rainstorm. Layer 2 is physical state, lack of sleep, low blood sugar, prolonged sitting. Layer 3 is inner emotion, anxiety, loneliness, feeling of worthlessness. Where the three layers stack is the moment the eating impulse is strongest. Compare two coping styles. A habitually eats immediately when a trigger appears. B first scans the three layers and finds it is sleep deprivation thinning the mood, then goes to sleep 20 minutes instead. After a week, B's emotional eating episodes were about half of A's. The difference comes from whether the real trigger layer was identified. Execution checklist, directly usable when impulse hits. Wait 10 minutes first to buffer the signal. Use the three-layer model for a quick self-check of trigger/state/emotion. Prepare non-food comforts, warm bath, walk, music. Record the context of each impulse. Review weekly to find the high-frequency trigger layer. These five steps turn vague craving into a manageable signal. The value of this chapter is, it replaces self-blame with measurable indicators, cortisol trend, intake frequency, trigger layers, restoring emotional eating from a moral issue to an intervenable system. Dietary buffering strategies in high-pressure periods. Stress cannot be zeroed, but you can lay a buffer for it. First, regular meals matter more than a perfect menu. Fixed three meals stabilize blood sugar and reduce emotion-driven eating caused by low blood sugar. Second, invite comfort food to the table but use it differently. Rather than binge a whole box of sweet.